got something with the Pentagon.
Do you good? Yeah, first let me start off by saying to the members of the Pentagon press, the secretary told me about how you conducted your business on that fateful day. I want to congratulate you and thank you. Many of your members of the Pentagon press went out to help in the evacuation and the aid of the people who worked here in the Pentagon, and the country appreciates that very much. And thank you. Pass the word on to your colleagues as well. Today we're talking about the mobilization of reserve and guard troops. Such a mobilization is a strong symbol of this nation's resolve. And I want to thank the Secretary and David and members of our team for giving me a complete and full briefing. I fully understand that a mobilization affects the lives of thousands of Americans. I mean, after all, we're talking about somebody's mom or somebody's dad, somebody's employee, somebody's friend or somebody's neighbor. But the world will see that the strength of this nation is found in the character and dedication and courage of everyday citizens. We are, last week I proclaimed a national emergency and authorized the Secretary of Defense and Secretary of Transportation to call up the ready reserve units of the armed forces and the Coast Guards to active duty. We are in the process of calling up as many as 35,000 such troops. They will serve in a number of essential roles. They will help maintain our air defenses so they can stay on high alert. They will check shipping in ports. They will help our military with airlift and logistics. They will provide military police. They will participate in engineering projects. They will help gather intelligence. And they will perform work as chaplains. I know this means a lot of sacrifice for those who will be called up and their families. But you understand, the troops who will be called up understand better than most that freedom has a cost and that we're willing to bear that cost. An act of war has been committed on this country, and the dedication of our guardsmen and reservists will serve not only as a strong symbol to all that we're prepared to take the necessary actions. We'll be a part of helping define the spirit and courage of America, and I'm grateful. I want to thank the employers who understand that there is more to corporate life than just profit and loss, that the employee who is getting ready to serve the country is an essential part of winning the of defeating terrorism. Evildoers so emboldened that they feel like they could attack the great bastion of freedom. Before I answer a few questions, I also want to wish the American Jewish community and Jews around the world a healthy and happy new year. As the high holy days begin, I know you'll find strength and determination during this time of reflection. I'd be glad to answer a few questions.
Mr. President, does the cost of freedom today in this war you're about to wage include the loss of civilian and military casualties? And can you keep us out of a depression, recession during this crisis?
The only thing I can do is reflect upon the spirit of the U.S. military. And the U.S. military is ready to defend freedom at any cost. The men and women who wear our uniforms, both active duty and reservists and National Guards people, are ready to respond to the call of the Commander-in-Chief and the Secretary of Defense. There's no question in my mind that the resolve of our military has never been stronger. And we will win the war, and there will be costs. But the military folks understand that. And so do I, and so does the Secretary of Defense. In terms of our economy, I've got great faith in the economy. I understand it's tough right now. Transportation, business is hurting. Obviously, the market was correcting prior to this crisis. But the underpinnings for economic growth are there. We're the greatest entrepreneurial society in the world. We got the best farmers and ranchers. We've got a strong manufacturing base. But there's a challenge ahead of us, and I'm confident that our business community will rise to the challenge. Secondly, I'm confident we can work with Congress to come up with an economic stimulus package, if need be, that will send a clear signal to the risk takers and capital formators of our country that the government's going to act too. Thirdly, we've got a tax cut that's still working its way through the economy, as well as a reconstruction plan for New York and the area. And after all, the Congress, in a bipartisan fashion, overwhelmingly passed a supplemental of billions of dollars, which will help not only get New York City up and running again, but will help provide some economic stimulus.
Is in trouble and looking for some relief. I know that Secretary Mineta is supposed to meet with representatives from the industry this week. But do you, as you look down the road, do you think they can expect some assistance?
Stretch, I think these are the kinds of subjects that we will talk with the Secretary of Transportation, with the airline industry, and as importantly, with members of Congress. Congress must be involved with, obviously, with these deliberations, and I look forward to, I've already encouraged my administration to reach out to members of Congress, and we will continue doing so. Patsy. Patsy, I want to make it clear to the American people that that this administration will not talk about any plans we may or may not have. We will not jeopardize in any way, shape, or form anybody who wears the uniform of the United States. All I can tell you is that Osama bin Laden is a prime suspect, and the people who house him, encourage him, provide food, comfort, or money are on notice. Last week, I spoke clearly about our nation's policy, and that is we're going to find those those evildoers, those barbaric people who attacked our country, and we're going to hold them accountable, and we're going to hold the people who house them accountable. The people who think they can provide them safe havens will be held accountable. The people who feed them will be held accountable. And the Taliban must take my statement seriously. Yes, ma'am.
Is it the case, based on what you said now, that war is inevitable? And can you tell the American people what that war is going to look like?
I know that an act of war was declared against America. But this will be a different type of war than we're used to. This is, in the past, there have been, you know, beaches to storm, islands to conquer. We've been able to watch on our television screens sophisticated weaponry find a building. And we've seen, dramatic reports from the front where, a Pulitzer Prize to be winning reporter stood up and declared, the United States is attacked and all that. There may be some of that, who knows? But I know that this is a different type of enemy than we're used to. It's an enemy that likes to hide and burrow in, and their network is extensive. They have there's no rules. It's barbaric behavior. They slit throats of women on airplanes in order to achieve an objective that is beyond comprehension. And they like to hit, and then they like to hide out. But we're going to smoke them out. And we're adjusting our thinking to the new type of enemy. These are terrorists that have no borders. And by the way, it's important for the world to understand that we know in America that more than just Americans suffered loss of life in the World Trade Center. People from all kinds of nationalities lost. But that's why the world is rallying to our call to defeat terrorism. Many world leaders understand that the attack could have easily happened on their land. And they also understand that this enemy knows no border. But they know what I know. That when we start putting the heat on those who house them, they will get them running. And once we get them running, we have got a good chance to getting them. And that's exactly what our intent is. The focus right now is on Osama bin Laden, no question about it. He's the prime suspect in his organization. But there are other terrorists in the world. There are people who hate freedom. This is a fight for freedom. This is a fight to say to the freedom-loving people of the world, we will not allow ourselves to be terrorized by somebody who thinks they can hit and hide in some cave somewhere. It's going to require a new thought process. And I'm proud to report our military, led by the Secretary of Defense, understands that. Understands it's a new type of war. It's going to take a long time to win this war. The American people are going to have to be more patient than ever with the efforts of our combined efforts, not just ourselves, but the efforts of our allies, to get them running and to find them and to hunt them down. But as the Secretary of, as the Vice President said, you know, Osama bin Laden is just one person. He is representative of networks of people who absolutely have made their cause to defeat the freedoms that we take that we understand, and we will not allow him to do so. I want justice, and. There's an old poster out west, as I recall, that said, wanted, dead or alive.
Thank you very much. Do you
see it ending at all? I think this is a long-term battle, war. There'll be battles, but this is long-term. We're, after all, our mission... It's not just Osama bin Laden, the Al-Qaeda organization. Our mission is to battle terrorism and to join with freedom-loving people. We are putting together a coalition that is a coalition dedicated to declaring to the world we will do what it takes to find the terrorists, to rout them out, and to hold them accountable. And the United States is proud to lead the coalition.
You said you want him dead or alive.
I just remember, all I'm doing is remembering when I was a kid. I remember that they used to put out there in the Old West. A wanted poster. It said, wanted, dead or alive. All I want, America wants him brought to justice. That's what we want.